The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Spring Splurging. While some of us may be clearing out closets for spring, the fashion editor in me keeps filling mine with stylish new goodies. Check out the latest and greatest additions to my stash. I'll admit it, I'm that girl who, at the slightest inconvenience, tells herself, Blake, get yourself something nice, you deserve it. As the seasons change, that remains true, especially when it comes to fashionable clothes and accessories. For spring, I'm adding some head-turning pants, colorful statement heels, a trendy pair of glasses, some in-your-face earrings, and a sleek suitcase that even Rihanna adores. Each of these items stole my heart. I guarantee you'll fall in love with them too. The next article is titled, Brave New Girl. Sophia Dennis talks about her upcoming docuseries, The Life of Pia. To Say Girls United co-founder Sophia Dennis has an adventurous spirit is an understatement. She prides herself on often championing others with original ideas and embracing new ventures. This is the premise of her series, The Life of Pia, during which she will take on one new skill every episode. The concept of the show is really just me experiencing all of the things that we are either told we shouldn't go out and do or are hesitant to experience, things that we kind of just take from what other people do without experiencing them for ourselves. Dennis explains, by committing to a deeper exploration of herself and her abilities in the docuseries, she hopes to end up inspiring others in the process. The 5-part project, produced by Essence Studios, will capture this dynamo learning how to drive a Porsche, hitting the record studio with premier talent, and attending a rally for the impeachment of former President Donald Trump. One episode that Dennis, 22, holds dear features her visiting a gun range in California. Redstone Firearms, a licensed firearm dealer, was founded by husband and wife duo Jonathan and Geneva Solomon in 2015. They have range days during which they meet clients at Angeles shooting ranges and have their instructors train and educate. It was here that Dennis connected with Geneva, a domestic abuse survivor who equips others with the knowledge and tools that might be deemed necessary for self-defense. Before attending a reserved session at the range, Dennis had never interacted with a gun and was determined to go into the whole thing without any preconceived notions. I stand on the more liberal side of the fence, she says, but I am still interested in understanding why people support the Second Amendment. Dennis was surprised by the dexterity and sheer force required to pull the trigger. And she observes that standing up for Black women's safety shouldn't end at Protect Black Women post. Women deserve true safety, she maintains, which is why she believes that the topic of gun control is a controversial
conversation that must include the voices of Black women of many varied perspectives. Nothing that non-minorities and liberal white people are typically the ones leading talks about gun safety, she reflects. As Black women living in America, our realities are significantly different from those currently having these conversations on social media, or trying to dissuade us from exercising certain rights. That's why it was a great experience to see somebody who is the complete opposite of the type of person we typically see talking about guns, whether in a negative or positive light. I really enjoyed being able to sit down with Solomon and hear how she's thinking. And this, Dennis adds, is another goal for the life of Pia, the application of nuance to hot-button issues. Black women should hold the mic more often. The next article is titled, Bringing Communities of Support to Students. At Communities in Schools, we are working to ensure students have everything they need to rearrange in learning, whether they are staying home or returning to the classroom. With you on our side, we will be there for them all day, every day, providing emotional support and resources like school supplies, meals, and access to technology and learning materials. Now more than ever, we are being called on to reimagine public education and find new pathways to equitable learning conditions. The next article is titled, The Green Rush. These pioneers are leading the charge for equity and inclusion in the billion-dollar cannabis industry. The societal stigma that once was attached to cannabis is slowly going up in smoke. 36 states have legalized the herb for medicinal purposes, plus 18 states and the District of Columbia have approved it for recreational use. In addition, a few senators are working to have cannabis removed from the federal list of controlled substances altogether. With more states legalizing marijuana, an emerging industry related to its sale and use in the U.S. is projected to pull in more than $45 billion by the year 2025, according to Marijuana Business Daily. Meet four entrepreneurs who are among a small number of Black women opening cannabis dispensaries and fighting through a thicket of regulatory challenges to stake their claim in a booming industry. Overcoming the obstacles. Whitney Beatty, 43, the founder and CEO of Josephine and Billy's, a South Los Angeles cannabis retail outlet, was not always a consumer of cannabis. That is, until she began using it to treat anxiety and researched how it has been considered medicinal for over 3,000 years while being stigmatized as a drug for the past 7 decades. Within the passage of the California Cannabis Equity Act of 2018, and the establishment of Los Angeles Social Equity Program to give eligible entrepreneurs a leg up in launching a legal cannabis business. BT saw an opportunity. She wanted to create a safe space for Black women to have access to cannabis and to learn about both its medicinal and recreational uses. She had already transitioned from a successful career as a television development executive when she partnered with Ebony Anderson on a full-fledged cannabis enterprise. Anderson had been assisting social equity program applicants in navigating the city's very complicated requirements before she agreed to join BT on her journey to start a shop. "I just happened to have a useful set of skills because as an urban planner, I was the one helping write the regulations and policies," says Anderson, 39, partner and COO of the company. Its name pays homage to Josephine Baker and Billie Holiday. Anderson's background in urban planning for Ventura County and her experience working with cities to develop cannabis programs and policy helped the two women traverse the arduous application process. Financing their business would be another hurdle. "The process of getting a license is like jumping through hoops, but the hoops are on fire and there's nails coming out and knives," says BT. "There are hundreds of ways for you to not be able to make." Luckily, their first major investor, Jay-Z's The Parent Company, provided them with most of their startup funding, and other investors followed suit. They opened their retail location at the end of last October, transforming an old dry cleaner space on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Sharing the wealth of information, Kika Keith, 50, grew up in a home where marijuana was considered sacred. "My father, a scholar and philosopher, was a Rastafarian. So I grew up with an awareness of cannabis," says Keith. "I always saw weed in my household. There was a high level of respect for the plant and its healing properties. Her mother called it holy." Keith, the CEO and founder of Gorilla RX, the first Black woman-owned dispensary in Los Angeles, opened her doors to the public in August 2021 and already has more than 2,000 products for sale on the shelves, everything from infused pre-rolls to extracts. But even before launching her business, Keith selflessly took on the cause of helping others get their own enterprises started so that there would be at least 40% Black-owned businesses in Los Angeles cannabis industry. "It has literally been a fight," she says. "From the time that the city of Los Angeles opened their licensing process, they pushed back the social equity program that was to start at the same time as a general licensing. Of the nearly 200 dispensaries that were grandfathered in, only 6 were African American. In response, Keith co-founded the Social Equity Owners and Workers Association. "We had to create grassroots lobbyists and learn the political process," she says. The organization ultimately sued the city and won. An additional 100 licenses were made available for people of color. It took 3 long years for Gorilla RX to become a reality. But during those years, the building where the dispensary now sits housed a community organization that assisted applicants in filing the necessary paperwork and educated them on issues such as predatory investors. "The key is, how can we get our doors open?" Keith explains. "And how can we make sure we thrive once licensed?" If you've got it, fund it. Hope Wiseman, CEO and co-founder of Mary and Maine, was 23 years old when she won the competition application process to legally sell medical cannabis in Maryland. Her Prince George's County dispensary is counted among the 95 listed in Maryland Medical Cannabis Commission online directory. Of those dispensaries, fewer than 43% are reportedly owned by people of color. Still, the state's Medical Marijuana Commission has made major strides from the early days when they came under scrutiny for awarding 15 licenses to growers, almost none of those businesses minority owned. After Wiseman, the youngest black woman in the country to own a dispensary, graduated from Spelman College with a degree in economics, she thought she'd pursue a career in investment banking. But when the cannabis industry became a legal and viable option, Wiseman decided that it was now or possibly never. Maryland was one of the first East Coast states to legalize medical cannabis, she notes. This created a really robust application process. Knowing that her status as a new college graduate with no experience in healthcare or in running a company could be seen as a liability, she put together a team that she believed would be able to gain the state's approval. She included two people who had deep ties to the community as well as healthcare backgrounds. Her mother, Octavia Wiseman, PhD, an entrepreneur and dentist, and Larry Bryant, PhD, a resident oral surgeon at a local hospital. The enterprise has been in operation since 2018, with three founders raising the initial $1 million they needed to start the venture from savings. They are already in the black, earning about $4.5 million in 2021. I'm glad we funded ourselves because we don't owe anyone anything, Wiseman says. We have been able to grow a business that can pay us decent salaries, and we get to run it the way we want. The next article is titled, It's Time to Realize Your Dreams. We all experience roadblocks as we seek to realize our dreams. Regardless of where you are at on your financial journey, now is a great time to update your financial goals and pave a clear pathway for growth. Pave your new path. Racial gaps in wealth continue to hold true, which is why many black people are looking beyond just a traditional paycheck to achieve their financial goals. According to a study by MassMutual, black respondents are more focused on real estate investing or becoming an entrepreneur to accumulate wealth. So, if you're like the 69% of black respondents with a positive outlook towards the future, those roads towards financial wellness might be for you. Some view them as more viable, tangible financial growth engines. Getting ahead of your payments. Many black respondents are saving now to make an impact on their future, but only 37% saying saving is as manageable as they would like. Part of that reason may be high debt relative to income, high impact student loan debt, owing an average of $25,000 more than white counterparts, and perhaps the need for a holistic financial plan. MassMutual provides resources for college planning for parents and budget planning help for those who already have student loans, so you can come up with a game plan to pay them off. Also, you can save more and continue to keep steps towards your dreams. Ask for directions on your journey.
30% of Black respondents feel uncomfortable financially. Additionally, 62% think financial institutions play a role in racial inequities. Mass Mutual is seeking to change those dynamics. We can help with financial planning for you and for your business, including savings, investments, retirement planning, and so much more. The next article is titled, Build a $1 Million Portfolio. These apps demystify the financial markets and offer winning strategies for amassing wealth through smart investments. Investing is a tried and true long-term approach to creating wealth. Unfortunately, many of us hesitate to start building an investment portfolio, largely due to lack of knowledge about how capital markets function. This is true among Black women. 59% of Black women aren't investing in the stock market, and those who do aren't leveraging their investments as aggressively as they could. Women generally keep 71% of their assets in cash, while men keep about 60% of their assets in cash, diverting a bigger share to higher earning investment portfolios. Experts surmise that this disparity could be a contributing factor in a larger percentage of women living in poverty as they grow older. Fortunately, women need to look no further than their smartphones to begin growing their investment portfolios and, in turn, securing their financial futures. We've rounded up the best apps to help you increase your financial knowledge and start investing like a boss. Investor, if you enjoy playing games and learning new money strategies, Investor is for you. This app simulates a fantasy stock portfolio where, as the manager of $200 billion, you have access to investment experts' advice on stocks. Wealth Base. Merging social media with stock picking, Wealth Base is unique among its peers. It aggregates the stocks your friends are choosing, along with daily updates on who's seeing a return, and allows you to interact with them in real time. The app also makes it easy to trade cryptocurrency, if that is something you're looking to dive into. Wealthfront. As one of the largest independent robo-advisors, Wealthfront is for the more sophisticated investor who is looking to receive pointed advice on growing their money. For a nominal fee, financial advisors can also help manage your money, whether it's in a taxable account or an IRA. As you deposit money into your accounts, Wealthfront will calculate that into your portfolio and keep you on target towards your goal. Acorns. Acorns has been around for a while now, and with good reason. This popular app is perfect for the passive investor, as it taps into your banking accounts and deposits your change into an investment portfolio. This allows you to start investing right away, no matter your income level. Betterment. This app is a great fit for those looking to invest according to their values. Betterment can create socially responsible portfolios, including those that focus on climate change or social impact. The app also charges a much more reasonable fee than you'd pay for a traditional financial advisor to manage your portfolio. Robinhood. Perhaps the most popular app on this list, Robinhood made headlines by democratizing investing for novice investors looking to make some serious money moves. If you are a beginner,
It may take a little study and practice, but this app allows you to invest in stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptocurrency without fees. Also, if you become a member of Robinhood Gold, you could have instant access to deposits of amounts up to $50,000. The next article is titled, The Power of Second Acts. No matter your age or current employment status, you can still redesign your own life and take control of your brilliant career. Last year, I was inspired by stories of women who had found their purpose by successfully making bold career transitions. The Power of the Pivot originally appeared in the March-April 2021 issue of Essence, and the testimonies include made me reflect on my own career, going from lawyer to writer and editor, and now to entrepreneur. What many people don't share when relating their pivot stories are the hard intervening years that lead to those transformative days and nights. Years when you're not just changing careers, but yourself as well. For me, pivoting was an ongoing cycle. First, discovering my values as an individual, then learning what would no longer serve me as I went from one stage to the next. Of course, the ultimate goal was to find my life's purpose. Sounds simple enough, right? But my journey didn't come with an aha moment or a single career decision. In fact, it was quite the opposite. As I felt myself evolving in every facet of my life, I outgrew relationships, attitudes, and even experiences I'd once enjoyed. From a career perspective, I discovered what I loved doing even when money wasn't a factor, and that took me down two definitive paths. As an editor, I'm able to tell stories on behalf of the voiceless, amplifying their truths and often impacting the lives of the subjects themselves. And as the founder of the digital health company, HUED, which connects people of color with culturally competent medical care providers, I've become a champion for health equity in the midst of a global pandemic, working to transform a system that's been broken for far too long. While many might have pivoted from one path to the other, going from editor to founder, I've taken on the challenge of following both calls.
Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.